Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Welcome to Sunday. It's good to be here. We've been doing a series called Win Our World, which is not just a series that we're going to do for a couple of weeks and forget about it, but it's a series that's to prop up and intensify our focus on the call to win our world, which is to win souls for Jesus. So last week, we heard an incredible message from Rebecca Willett talking about building herself up with the opportunity to speak out about Jesus Christ in the everyday opportunities and the places and spaces, no matter where we are. That it's not about, you know, going to missions into a whole different country. It's not about, you know, going to the extremes, but it's about the people you interact with daily who are broken and need Jesus. And it was a beautiful message to hear about winning our world. And I've been asked to kind of focus on how do we train ourselves to be equipped and empowered to bring the gospel to each and everyone in our world. And the good thing about this is that next week we're going to have an opportunity to bring one, because Pastor Steve is going to bring a pure gospel message that's going to speak to the lives of the people that need to hear Jesus. So win the world, win one, train one, and bring one. And as I was thinking about how do we get trained and equipped and empowered to evangelize, to bring the gospel, my heart kept coming back to one word that I had to really sit down with and go, what do you mean by that? And that topic is godly conversations. Godly conversations. And I was like, what do you mean by this, Lord? It is the act of talking about God and the things of God and the things that He's doing in our everyday world. And the thing is, we could talk about work, we could talk about sports, we could talk about music, we could talk about things that happen during the week, we could talk about road rage, we could talk about all these things with ease. But as soon as the word God comes in, we all shut down and go, ooh, we're entering sensitive territory. We become hesitant. And I was thinking to myself, why do we do this? Maybe there's a fear of being found out that we're not where we're supposed to be with God. Maybe because we realize in our minds we haven't spent time with Him for the past week, so we might get caught out, that we're not as Christian as we should be. Or maybe it's because we don't want to offend, or we don't want to step on someone's toes, or maybe because we don't know what we're talking about. But I want to normalize this into our everyday conversations, because I feel like if we normalize this, that will be the very first step into stepping into the community and sharing godly conversations. Now, I'm not saying that you have to know everything and speak about God in everything that you do. But I'm saying we need to embed Him into our conversations to be aware of what He's doing in our lives. Because if we're not having godly conversations, then we're not thinking about God, then we're not aware of His presence, then we're never going anywhere with Him. And we say, hey, win souls. You're going, but how? We cannot win souls if we haven't won ourselves over first. We cannot bring people if we have not brought ourselves to the Lord first. So I really want to unpack godly conversations so that we can continue to understand that it starts with us. So that when we talk about these things and we talk about evangelism, we talk about discipleship, that we are not afraid to step into the real business of that. That we are not afraid to have those conversations and that we can start somewhere. Does that sound good? So we need to grow in comfort and confidence as Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. We need to grow in comfort and confidence in what He's doing in our lives before we can become comfortable and confident with the words that we speak about Him. So it starts with us and in our lives. And I have to laugh about the word godly because it reminded me of a book that I was reading 5 years ago. And I still find it funny because I was so convicted that I never finished it. The book was called Respectable Sins by Jerry Bridges. And I remember I was reading it during lockdown. And it talks about sins that we have accepted as Christians as a normal part of life. Therefore, you don't have to deal with it or worry about it. So it's acceptable. So he talks about the issue with this kind of mindset, saying that we're never going to be set free from these things. We've accepted it and tolerated it. I'm like, cool, this is awesome. I got this. And the very first respectable sin was he was saying, we often think that pride is the downfall or the start of everything. I was like, yeah, amen. He said, but that's not it. So I was like, okay, cool. He said, it's ungodliness. I was like, I've got no issue with that. I'm a Christian. I'm, you know, I know God. It's fine. But then he unpacked it. It was like, even Christians have ungodliness in their lives. It's like, what do you mean? It is about living a life independent of God in the everyday things you do. And straight away, my mind went to the fact that I sometimes spend half an hour with God, have an amazing session with him, devotions, reading the word, close my Bible, then I forget about it for the rest of the day. And I was so convicted that I was literally like, I'm living an ungodly life. And that was just the first respectable sin. And I shut that book, and I was so convicted, I never went back to it. Because I started to go on a journey of what does that look like? What does it look like to live a godly life? And it was simply about letting God in the everyday things that you do. Whatever you do for the Lord, so whatever you do, do it for the Lord. And I began to incorporate him into my work life, incorporating him into my relationships, incorporating him into my thought life. And I was like, awesome. I'm growing a godly life. And I recently, when I was preparing the sermon, went back to that book. The next chapter was selfishness. I was like, yeah, I'm not going there. We'll stick with one thing at a time. But I was laughing because he was like, godly conversations, which is a reminder that we can live ungodly lives. We could have ungodly conversations. It's not a bad thing. It just means that we're not allowing God to infiltrate every part of our lives, which then means it doesn't overflow into everything that we do, which then means it's hard to win our world because we're not talking about him. And if we can't do it in here in church with brothers and sisters that know Christ, then we're not going to do it out there. So my encouragement to you is, as you listen to this message, to help understand that everything is connected. Everything influences one another. Everything is not just you do this and this. It all influences and impacts the other. Everything is connected. The more we do here, the more we do out there. The more we do out there, the more we bring back here. And the more we get inspired and we get built up in faith. Amen? So can we turn to Ephesians 4? It's going to be our text for today. But we want to normalize godly conversations so that we can evangelize, to bring the good news, and so that we can be discipled by one another, which means to submit to the teaching and the life of a master. And Ephesians 4 is a beautiful passage about the church and the building up of the church and what it's meant to look like. And if you really want to read what the church should look like, read Ephesians. It talks about the gospel, what Jesus has done in our lives, and how we are being built up in faith. And then he says, do this as a church. And then he gives you some words of warning. And then he tells you at the very end to put on the armor of God and go fight. So I really encourage you, it's only 6 chapters, to get into it and really let the Lord speak to you. But he says in Ephesians 4, verse 1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. You can see the community that's in this. That we are connected by the blood of Jesus. That we are connected by the fact that we're sons and daughters of the one Father who is over all. And if he goes down to verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given to you as Christ apportioned. We all have received something within us. We all have something to share, and we all have something to learn. And he says in verse 11, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people, which is you guys, for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What a beautiful piece of scripture that paints a picture of us as the body of Christ, of us supporting everything within the church and building up the church. So as we have godly conversations and as we put in the work, we begin to grow in the maturity and fullness of God. But that's going to take time. That's going to take words that we have, conversations that we need to have. It's going to take questions being asked. Going to someone that you see someone doing well that you don't do well to say, what have you done to get there? What do you do to get yourself to that place of prayer? What do you do to be able to worship freely? What do you do to be able to tell the gospel so boldly? All those questions can be asked and you can be built up in faith as you have those godly conversations. And I just wanted to bring to my first point is that in all this, in order to execute the unity and the fullness of God, it requires your full participation. It requires your full participation. It requires you bringing your whole self to the Lord and your whole self to the community. I'm not saying at the expense of yourself, but your whole self to a place where you could bring your strengths, you could bring your vulnerability, you could bring your authenticity, you could bring yourself and place yourself in a position of God in the community, because God has blessed you with himself and he has blessed you with the community to build you up. But you cannot do this half-heartedly, or you cannot do this on the sidelines. It requires your full participation. And not only that, it requires your full participation with one another to be connected in that community, to be connected in that environment that God has brought you in. It says in Ephesians 4 verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And that key word I emphasize is bearing. To bear with one another in love. Not to easily be with one another in love. To bear with one another in love, because we're all people that are growing in fullness and maturity. To bear with one another in love. And it says in Ephesians 4, verse 16, from him, Jesus Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love in each part as they do the work. Are you participating on the sidelines? One of the biggest issues that we have in the Western world is the sense of independence. I worry about what I worry about, and I don't have to worry about anyone else. And there's a thing called the bystander effect. You see it on the news. Someone's getting robbed, someone's getting punched, and everyone's standing around, maybe pulling out their phones, but they're not getting involved because they're afraid that something will happen to them if they get into it, which is a fallow fear. Or they're afraid of being wrong and stepping into a wrong argument, or their assumptions are wrong, so they don't do anything. They become paralyzed. And then before you know it, there's a crime committed in front of us, or there's something happening in front of us that we did nothing about. The same thing can happen in churches. We can have the bystander effect. If we're not engaging in those conversations, we might have a question that we see something that's not quite right, or we're not sure about something and we just go, you know what, they'll be fine. It's not my problem. But then that person could be crying out for help. That person could be going through something and needing love and support. That person could be needing the very wisdom or testimony that you have, that inspires you to share your story, and that could be the one thing that saves their life. It could be something that encourages them. We cannot have a church that is standing on the sidelines with each other. Because I tell you, if you go out there, you're going to be standing on the sidelines where people are just lost and living their own lives. And when they ask, at work, I hear all the time, you know, I'm tired, don't know what I'm doing. And I stand there going, I have the answer, I have the hope. And if I'm just standing on the sidelines, so I don't want to share because I'm scared of offending them, then I'm standing on the sidelines. If I'm going through something or someone's going through something and I say, they'll be right, I'm standing on the sidelines, not supporting my brothers and sisters who need it. And that's why community is so important. That's why godly conversations is important. Godly conversations actually provides you with the gateway and opportunity to step into something greater. I'm not saying you have to go in there and save their lives, but it could be a question. Hey, how are you going? I've noticed you've been a little tired. Is everything okay? But then it also puts a responsibility on the person to actually be real themselves and participate and say, actually, yeah, I've gone through some stuff. And that's an opportunity for you to decide. Do you take them out for coffee? Do you have a conversation? Then do you go to after lunch, after church, go to lunch? Do you pray for them? Do you follow up with them during the week? And if we all participated with one another in those conversations and had an awareness of what we were all going through day-to-day basis, the church will shift. It will shift so much. And then before you know it, you'll be emboldened to go out into the community and do the same thing. See someone go to work, hey, are you guys okay? Oh yeah, I'm just going through some stuff at home. And because you practice it with a community that you've been safe with, you're more likely going to execute a conversation. And the reason why it's a godly conversation is because it's the influence of God's love and his peace and his provision that's going to be in that conversation. And when you sit down for a coffee or something, you're sharing something, they're sharing their heart, and then they're asking you, why are you the only person that's reached out to me? Say, because I care for you. And as a Christian, we're called to care for one another. And if you've just dropped in, God, something as simple as that can change their lives. So I really want to encourage you, church. Are you doing church on the sidelines? Are you doing Christianity on the sidelines? Or are you participating? It takes work. I want to go to the gym. I want to be fitter. But it's not going to happen without me putting in the work. I could pray about it. I could do all the things. I could talk about it. But unless I get myself in there, it's not going to be executed. So it is my responsibility to understand the Christ work is finished, but I have to still do the Father's business in this world. And more importantly, it starts here with you and I. Because if we get executed here, then we will execute it in our community. And the more we execute in our community, the more stories we bring back. Like we heard 8 stories this morning. Everyone was encouraged. And then she's going to be encouraged with that and do the same thing over again. And it's just going to build up momentum. So let's have full participation and bring our whole selves to each other and this community that we're in. With our emotions, with our thoughts, with our circumstances, with our beliefs. And where we are at right now, let us bring our full selves. And before you know it, you're going to start having conversations that are on a deeper level. As God, the conversation requires full participation. When we live in the way that we have learned, it causes us to reveal things within ourselves and in others. Which brings me to my second point. God, the conversation exposes things. And I was so convicted on this. How much are we hiding? And I'm not saying just sin, but even lack of understanding. How much are we hiding in terms of where we are at with Jesus Christ? How much are we hiding because we want to look like a Christian that has it all together? Well, spoiler alert, none of us have it all together. That's why it says we are supported together by every ligament growing in maturity and fullness. So the whole concept is that we are being molded into perfection. And that perfection is not everything's done perfectly, but perfection is displaying the love and the grace and the fruits of Christ in the most perfect and pure way. But if we're not there yet, then where are we now? We have to be made perfect. We have to be made mature. We have to be made into the fullness. So that means we are halfway there, which means there is some messy stuff that we've got to deal with, which means there are some conversations of learning that we've got to have. God, the conversation exposes. And then on the other side of things, you also have to have conversations where you could bring things into someone's life because they've exposed a lack of understanding. I was talking to Steve and Candace was listening. I was saying all this stuff and Steve just laughs. He goes, mate, you're just giving me excuses. And I said, you're so right. You're so right. There was no defense from me on that point. But there was a safety in that because I knew that he was coming from a place of love and care. If he affirmed me and everything that I was saying, he's just going to affirm the excuses that I'm making. And then I'll be walking around going, it's fine, because Steve said, you know, I could be going through these things. I don't have to try to change anything. I don't have to do anything because I am good where I am. But he's trying to call me up higher into a level where God's called me to be. And he's saying, do something about it. I can't do anything but do something about it. So these things exposes the things within us. It exposes certain things in our lives. As it says in Ephesians 4, verse 20 to 25. This, however, is not the way of life you have heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And then he goes through all the characteristics that we got to get rid of. And great thing is I left the gap there because I found out Pastor Steve's going to be preaching on that. So perfect, Holy Spirit works in wonderful ways. So if you want to get an extended detail version, come to 4 p.m. tonight for Pastor Steve. Give him an applause. So Ephesians 5. So I'm trying to work out what's going on here. In Ephesians 5 verse 8, it says, "For once you were darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by light becomes invisible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." How many of us are sleepwalking? How many of us are sleepwalking through life, putting on a facade, putting on an act on a Sunday morning, because you only have to do it for 2 to 3 hours a week, go home, do everything you do in secret, in private, whatever you want to do, and then you come back to church with a smile on your face, nothing's going to change from that point. How many of us are sleepwalking through life? I've been there, done that, and it is brutal. But we are called to be exposing things in one another, to be putting things into light so they could be illuminated and so they could be dealt with. So they could be dealt with. And it's funny, as I was preparing this message, people started having conversations with me about certain things, and I'm like, why is it this week? I had someone ask me about, do you pray in tongues? And I was like, look, I have some things that I want to work through, and then, you know, I was exposed. But that became an opportunity for me to learn more about something that I was still working out. And there was also things, stories that I heard that I never heard before from people, and it just inspired me to a greater level of seeing where they're at now and seeing what all the challenges they have worked through, so they're not no longer just a person on platform or a leader that I look at going, they're amazing, they're human like me, going through real things like me. And that encourages me more than just seeing someone on a platform preaching a great word. Because we understand that we are community and we are people and we are doing real life together, serving a real God, doing the real work. And the great thing is, as you have conversations that expose things, things get exposed to you that you are now responsible for sharing godly conversations. My favorite story was when I was working at Philly Cinema Southland, formerly in Newman South location in Cinema 4. I was working in there, this girl that I've never worked with before, we're working in the candy bar together, and she just turns to me out of the blue and goes, "Oh, I really need the money for the weed that I need to buy." And I was like, red flag, like, don't want to deal with this person again. And she spends the whole shift talking about conspiracy theories and all these things. I'm like, this girl is off her head. So I was kind of like, you know, trying to stay away from her. The truth is I judged her like that straight away. And then later on, we were having a conversation, and they were talking about how she's sharing all these conspiracy theories. One of the girls goes, "Oh yeah, she was sharing this theory about like Jesus is coming back." And I was like, "Hang on a minute, I believe in that." I got really confused. And then, she came to me a week later. I was like, "Hey, I heard you go to church." I was like, "Oh no." I was like, "Yes." And she goes, "I've been wanting to come back to church." I was like, okay. Do I want her in my church? I'm like, I don't know. And then she began to share that she'd been living with her boyfriend at the time who had massive health issues. And they were taking weed to offset the mental illness as well as the physical pain. And she was saying, you know, "I used to be a Christian. And in the last few years, I've just been down this road that's taken me nowhere. And I just feel called to come back." And I was like, okay, all right. This is something that's happening now. And then I invited her to church. And she came to church and literally like bang, bang, bang. She heard a message, got saved, got baptized within 3 weeks later. And then within a month later, she quit Philly Cinemas and said, "I'm going to a retreat to work for." It's like a Christian holistically retreat that helps people with their well-being and stuff. So straight away, just in and out of my life, within 3 months, Christian saved, baptized, and doing the ministry for the Lord. And then God said to me at the end of that, do not judge anyone. I was like, okay, I'll never do that again. So we don't know what people are going through. And when they expose things, it's up to us to have those godly conversations. And I tell you what, I did nothing in that relationship with her to work for, apart from saying yes, no worries, I'm going to church this Sunday, and you're a fighter. That was it. So the Lord did his work, and all he needed me to do was to have that godly conversation of love, of peace, of the sound mind, and also to be a person that's not gossiping, but to invite her into church. So the truth is there, we cannot address things in the world that we haven't addressed ourselves. We need areas in our lives that need to be exposed and illuminated so that we can deal with them. We need to have areas in life that we don't know about that need to be exposed and illuminated so that we can be trained and equipped and empowered. We need to be able to say in life group when we're asking a question, say, I don't know anything about this. Where do I start? It could be a conversation with someone in the foyer that you say, how do I get to this point? And I've already got some questions lined up with certain people that I'm going to tap on the shoulder and say, I've noticed that you do this well. I need your help to help me with this. So if you see me coming up to you, you know why. I want to be equipped and empowered as I expose things to work on. And there are also habits, questions, fears, limitations, sins, shortcomings. All these things need to be exposed so that we can actually bring it to light and let the Lord do his work in us. This is the word for someone today who has been held by fear and in captive, of being embarrassed, of being found out that they are not where we think they are, or too afraid to speak out by looking stupid. But the truth is we are all being molded into being made perfect. But we cannot get there if we are in isolation or doing things in secret or doing life by ourselves. This is the word for someone today. I really want to break through with this. In this place, we have people who are abandoned by their parents but found their life in Jesus. In this place, we have people who are going down with drug and alcohol abuse but found their identity in Jesus. We have people who are looking for love in the wrong places but found their love in Christ. We have people in this place right now who are dealing with grief of lost and loved ones, but they found the anchor in Jesus Christ. We have people in here that have these stories. We have people that dealt with sickness and overcame it through the power and the love of God. We have people that dealt with situations, the battles over seasons in life that tested their trust and faith in God. And they have overcome it. And those are the people that we need to be speaking to say, hey, this is where I'm at right now. Share with me, encourage me with what you have been through. To build testimonies of faith, so that we could build ourselves up. So you may have a story that could change someone's life, or you may have a question that will change your own life. Let us bring things to the surface to expose, to have more conversations about God, with God, the things of God, so that we could grow into the maturity and fullness of God, and so that we could win the world. And the beauty of bringing things into exposure is that it gives us the opportunity to build, which it brings me to my third point. Godly conversations will build up others. There is no shame or condemnation when it comes to the gospel and power of Jesus Christ. There is no hurt or pain that is inflicted by the Lord because of what you're going through. The hurt of pain and shame is only inflicted on ourselves by what we feel. But the power and love of God is restorative and redemptive. It is to call us up to be built up in love, to be broken again and built up again in Him so that we could be restored by His love and power. As it says in Ephesians 4, verse 12 to 13, God, the conversation will build up others because the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. And in 15 verse 16, he says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined together, held together by every supporting ligament, grows, builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We are called to be builders of faith. And we cannot build others up unless we have built ourselves up. And one of my greatest pleasures in life is when I work in Nando's, Clayton Warwicker, best Nando's ever if you want to get a good chicken feed. But my greatest delight is building up my workers and helping them understand who they are and the gifts that they can find as they work in an ordinary job, but then they step into leadership roles, they step into roles that require more responsibility, and they begin to take charge, and there's a confidence in them that I cannot teach, but it comes out from building them up, supporting them, and then watching them go on. And that is my greatest joy, in seeing people built up. And then there's a sense of, I can do this. There's a sense of empowerment that comes upon them. And then after that, they become the best workers that I had because they're taking charge of what they're doing. And I've built up maybe 12 to 20 people into leadership roles, two people who have been sent out to other restaurant roles, running their own roles, and nothing delights me more than that, to see where they were to where they are now. And in the same way, nothing delights me more than seeing people built up in faith, in understanding, and in and growing in understanding who they are in God, and seeing them from where they are and from where they used to be. And this won't happen unless we have godly conversations. I still remember I had a person who started coming to church. He was asking me the dumbest questions I've ever heard. And in my head, I'm like, I've never had a conversation like this with someone before. Like, is God real? And he was kind of a Christian. Is he a spirit or a person? Can you hear from God? I was like, this is where you're at. But then I realized that some people don't know these things. And I began to support. I began to encourage. I began to be there for him. And now this person is unashamedly passionate for the Lord and growing in him. And I always am reminded by that because that is the power of building up others. And it wouldn't have happened if they didn't ask questions. If they didn't expose themselves at the risk of embarrassment and expose themselves to where they were at, which allowed me the opportunity to speak into their lives. And nothing encourages me more than that. And I'm sure Stephen Candace can say the same thing. Nothing encourages them more than that, seeing someone built up, pulled from the darkness into the light, pulled from brokenness into maturity restored. So we need to be having these conversations to develop one another, to grow, to disciple one another. And the truth is, we are all a fruit of someone else's work in us. We are all the result of someone else's focus on discipleship of others. We are all a fruit of that. Whether it be the leaders that we've had in our lives, whether it be our parents, this church is a result, the fruit of someone else's work in this church. It is a result of someone else's prayers, of someone else's ministry, and someone else's discipleship. The church itself is the fruit of the early church and the fruit of the apostles that built up the church. And the apostles themselves are the fruit of Jesus Christ himself. So we are all the fruit of someone that has built us up. And our time is now. Our time is now to start doing the building and to be built ourselves. Our time is now to learn what we need to learn, to know what we know, and to go with what we have. For grace has been given to you and apportioned to you, each and every one of you, to do your work. So what are you doing with that right now? Where are you in life? And what action do you need to take? Do you need to talk to someone and sit at their feet and listen to their teaching about something? Do you need to be in a relationship with someone that is giving you encouragement, that is giving you affirmation, or that is calling things out like excuses? So that you could be where you need to be. Do you need to find a safe place in someone and confess all the things that is happening in your life? Because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful. As you confess things, things begin to get unearthed. And you might feel shame, you might feel uncomfortable, but that's only temporary to the freedom that you feel later on. Because guilt is meant to convict us when we do the wrong things. If we didn't have guilt, then we'll just be doing whatever we want. With no consequence. What do we need to do with what we have now? What kind of conversations do we need to have? Is it an opportunity to speak into someone's life? And don't be afraid to start building those relationships with them, to speak into their lives. I've had the privilege of people messaging me and talking to me and building those relationships with me because they've seen something in me that maybe the Lord's highlighted to them that I need some guidance on or some nurturing, and they reach out to me. And I take it on because it's a beautiful thing to watch. Sometimes people ask me certain questions because they've seen something in my life that I've matured in, that I've grown in, and they begin to ask questions. And I'm more than happy to share. And those relationships become so deep and so beautiful and so wonderful because we become to understand that we are people, real people, doing real life with real issues, serving a real Lord. So we need to embrace the messiness in our church so we can allow the Lord to do his work. And then I tell you what, you will start to embrace the messiness in the community because you've seen what the church has done. You've seen the Lord's power at work. And you begin to go, yes, I've seen this before. I recognize it. And I'm the person that's going to stand with them, to support them, to love them. And then no longer will we have the bystander effect. No longer will we say, I'm my own person. I'm here to do whatever I want to do, whatever I'm responsible for. So the key to growing in fullness and maturity is to have godly conversations, to be able to read books like The Respectable Sins and be convicted that you are on the right track, and say, I'm allowing the Lord to influence every part of my being, that I give the Lord my whole self, and before you know it, there'll be no shame, there'll be no guilt, there'll be no fear, there'll be no sense of inadequacy whenever we call things out, because we understand that the Lord's power is love, is strong, is above all that we've experienced it ourselves.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.